Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. Today, we're going to be picking back up with our writer's block series. And if you've watched the first few of the episodes, you know that we've talked about whether or not it exists, right? That was an important one. It does, by the way, not for everybody, but it does exist for some people. And we've talked about when it is necessary, when it's a good thing to happen. And today we're going to cover a topic that is a little bit less fun, probably, to talk about, because we're going to talk specifically about not only when it does happen, but when it lasts for a long time and why that typically is. The next couple of writer's block episodes we're going to do are going to handle maybe the easier parts of how to get unstuck from writer's block. But specifically today, we want to talk about tenacious writer's block. So there are a couple of places that this can potentially come from. Obviously, there are the biological causes where several of the people that we coach deal with either getting sick or something happening to their physical body, or dealing with chronic illness or something like that. That's a brand new thing for them, where when they transition through from being healthier to being less healthy, that there are some biological causes that can have an impact on how you write and how freely the thoughts flow from the writing. Hormonal causes can be part of it too. So we want to acknowledge that there are some biological causes for when your brain is not functioning the way that it used to, or the way that you would like for it to. And that's a whole separate issue, right? Because we're not medical doctors here. We're not even remotely qualified to talk about stuff like that. And so I'm going to assume if that's the place where you are, that you are seeking out medical help, and or, because this is the piece that we do talk about a little more often, that when you do have either a health issue or a biological issue that's causing your writer's block to happen, that you will also talk to someone about the emotional effects of that as well. Because a lot of us have, we talk a lot around here about unrealistic expectations. A lot of us have unrealistic expectations about what happens when our biology changes, or when something happens to our physical body. And it's really important to work through those so that the expectation itself isn't setting us up for even more frustration than already just the biological causes are having. And so that's one area that sort of tenacious writer's block can come from, something where you might deal with it coming up fairly regularly, or it has been long lasting. Those are the two versions that we see. What we really see with either biological or environmental writer's block, when that happens, when it is tenacious, is that there's a constant source of something, right? So either it's physical, internal, or external, there's a constant source of something blocking your ability to really sit down and completely lose yourself in a manuscript. Because of course, that ability to tune out everything that is happening around you, or the ability to focus even when something is impairing that focus, is not common to every person. So a lot of encouragement that we see from others about how to deal with this is akin to essentially just suck it up and sit down and do it. And the reason we say, well, that's easy for you to say, is because it is. The just suck it up version of this advice is not taking into account that sometimes you need to know where that block is coming from so that you can get rid of it, and either that you can figure out how to reclaim your focus specifically with the attention paid to what is really going on inside your brain or your body, or
that there's an external source that you have to strategize around. And so those are the two sources that we see the most often of tenacious writer's block, that long-term writer's block. And so, like I said, if it's a health issue, if it's a biological issue, please see a doctor, please see a psychologist or a psychiatrist and or a therapist and deal with the effects of that, because this is not that podcast episode, right? We're not going to give you medical advice because we don't do that. We're also not going to give you therapeutic advice because we don't do that either. But what I do want to talk about is in coaching, when there is a source of writer's block that is tenacious, why is it happening and why is it important to understand that source? Most of the tenacious writer's block that we see does not come from a single place. And this is part of the problem in giving the advice of just sit down and write, is that most writer's block is not only happening because you're distracted, right? So most tenacious writer's block, that is. So when you have tenacious writer's block or consistent or long-lasting writer's block, like I said, we see this typically in two different types. We either see the, it comes and goes. So like you have a long-term pattern of being blocked and getting unstuck and being blocked and getting unstuck and being blocked. And that's usually has a different source, right? But this other version of tenacious writer's block that kind of is in one long experience of having been blocked for a long time. Is the type of writer's block that we really want to talk about today. Because once you get locked into this particular version of tenacious writer's block, it is almost impossible to get rid of it unless you attack the sources. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like today, and we're going to talk about how to attack those sources. So let's assume that the single cause writer's block, like distractibility, or like, let's say, short-term illness, is you get better and your writer's block goes away, or you finish cleaning up the clutter in your house and the writer's block goes away because that was the single source of your block. Then it might be as easy sometimes of just saying, just ignore it and sit down and write. It isn't always, and sometimes you do still have to attack that source. But the difference for me is that when there's only a single source, you often know subconsciously what it is. And this is how we usually hear this come up in our courses. Somebody will say, well, we've been moving across the country every 6 months for the last 3 years, and I haven't really written a book in 3 years, but that can't be what it is. That's just would be too easy. And then, of course, we have to sort of be like, but isn't it? Because it usually is, right? When we talk to them about that, it's the thing that we sort of ignore that we think can't be the reason. I have an awful relationship with this person in my household that is impacting my ability to focus, but that can't possibly be the source of my writer's block. But it can, and it often is. And so when you have those single sources, it's usually the thing that you try to write off and say it's not important. I've been having migraines consistently. I've been diagnosed with a major illness. You know, we're moving. We've been in transition. We're waiting to sell our house, et cetera. Like, it seems like all of those things shouldn't be it, but they often are. And when I say attack the source of those, I don't necessarily mean that you have to wait until you move house before you can attack the source of the writer's block. It doesn't mean necessarily that you have to wait until you resolve that relationship before you can write again. Sometimes it does. For certain personalities of people, no matter how much work we do with trying to limit their focus on that problem, whatever the problem is, some people just can't not look for that stability. And that is not a bad thing. You just need to know that that's you. And then you need to acknowledge when you can and can't write, right? When writer's block is that big of a deal. So here's the other piece of having sources of writer's block, which we don't often like to think about. We don't like to think about the fact that our personality or our environment or our biology might determine whether we can write or not. And so we write those sources off. And often what happens in this particular situation with this tenacious writer's block, basically under our complaint is the assumption that whatever it is that is wrong shouldn't be wrong. Like, we haven't finished unpacking our boxes yet, but that shouldn't be a big deal. To which I always ask, why not? Why shouldn't it? Who told you that you can't want stability in your environment before you can really sit down and write? And if that's the way that you are, then acknowledge that that's what it is and go after that source. Because if you try to pretend that that isn't who you are, all you're going to do is frustrate yourself and make the writer's block last longer. Once we know the source, then we can attack it and we can make it go away, right? And so trying to say something like, oh, you just have to be, you just have to ignore it, or you just have to focus, or you just have to limit your vision. Anytime you hear just or should, right? We always want to question that premise, QTP, because they're usually assuming that you have a skill that you don't have. And this is part of why the advice giving around writer's block drives me up the wall, because what people want to do is throw it out like it's so easy, like just sit down and write. Oh, well, you should just, that shouldn't matter. You should just sit down and write. You should just focus. All that's holding you back is just sitting down and writing, right? That is so rarely the case. It's just so rarely the case. And hearing that advice sometimes is so maddening when you do actually have writer's block, or you actually do have a cognitive block of some kind. It's so maddening that it's completely unhelpful. But what they're doing there is they're assuming that you have a skill that you don't have. Well, the good news is you can acquire that skill over time, but the bad news is you don't have it right now. So do you want to wait until you acquire that ability to focus, which for some of us is fighting against our natural personality and also the way we've trained ourselves and also the way we need to function in our environment? And so we can't just become that kind of person because there are all these other reasons that are making us be a split focus person, right? And so knowing that you are that way just means now we have to learn how to work with it, right? And so the way to attack that instability or to attack that one source of writer's block is to find the place where you can either create some sanity for yourself, some quiet, either a physical place in your home or a time of day or a person that you're with or whatever it is that makes you feel the most stable and sane. And we want to attack that source by saying, I'm now going to spend this particular time or go to this particular space, and this is going to be my stability for right now. And that's how you attack that source when it's a destabilizer. The problem is that not all writer's block, and especially not tenacious writer's block, are single source problems. So when it is, that's great. And usually then we can handle that in coaching fairly quickly, because all we have to do is either, you know, create a safe place in the house, declutter a certain space, wake up early in the morning, or stay up late at night when everybody's asleep. So there usually is some kind of very easy one cause, one answer response. But when there isn't, when it is multiple causes, then we start to have some issues. The way we discuss this in coaching is by looking for how many potential sources there are when you're experiencing this tenacious writer's block. So let's just take one example so that I can illustrate how this works. So let's say that as a writer, you need stability in order to function at your creative best, and your stability is currently being attacked. If that was the only source, what we could basically do is attack that one source and then demagnetize it for all intents and purposes. And then that expectation would go away because we would work on the expectation, or we would acquire a skill, or we would change the environment, right? But when there's two sources that it's coming from, then all of a sudden we have this double magnetized situation, where if you think about how a magnet gets around one magnetic pole source, it goes right there, right? So if we assume that down here is this one writer's block, then anytime your little writer magnet gets anywhere within close proximity to that, it just goes directly over there and it gets stuck, right? Well, when you start to have two sources, then all of a sudden the place where your writer creativity magnet can go is smaller, because if you get too close over here, it's going to get stuck. And if you go too close over here, it's going to get stuck. And then on some level, it creates this plane where the two different sources are pulling on each other all the time. And then it's so hard to keep the creativity in this one place where it's safe from being blocked, that it's like everything just gets pulled in that direction. So if your stability is having a hard time, if you can't find the stable emotional or physical place, and then additionally, you might have some kind of another situation. Let's just say there's a person who is creating some of this instability. And so now the relationship with that person is also under stress. Then anytime that anything comes near the relationship with that person, it's going to pull all of your energy towards it, right? And those two big things that are pulling all of your attention and energy towards them will create a drain on your creativity. So let's say then that you have a third polarized situation, or you have a third issue. And what we see a lot in this is where you have like either a relationship and then a financial issue and then an environmental issue, right? So where there are these three things that are just pulling on you. And I call this the Bermuda Triangle of anti-productivity, because I feel like there's just no other way to explain it. And the Bermuda Triangle is really easy for us to visualize, right? It's that place where anytime planes fly around it, they just disappear and never to be heard from again, right? And so we have this sense of there's this magnetized place in our life where all of our energy and time and thought are going to one of these three things. And it might be a personality thing, it might be external, it might be internal. They're always different, right? But every time I hear this, where we start to say like, well, I had this and then it created this and then all of a sudden this happened and then I got nothing done. And sometimes this Bermuda Triangle of anti-productivity can last for a long time. Like, we've had people who've literally come into class and it's been 3 years since they've written anything. And then once we start to unpack where that's coming from, we hear all of these different, you know, external, internal personality, environmental, financial issues. And it's all they can do sometimes to just wake up in the morning and even think, like even have their brain work, because there's just so much going on. And in that particular case, the just sit down and write advice is the literal least helpful thing that you could possibly tell someone. Because when there is that much attention being pulled toward all of these different things, as soon as you sit down, all that happens is everything else pulls at you and the creativity completely shuts off and it disappears inside of that triangle, that magnetized triangle. So what we try to do in coaching and what we want to try to help you figure out how to do here is how to demagnetize some of those things. Almost always when they're coming from a personality place, it is an expectation that you have about who you are that is not actually related to your real personality. It's related to some advice that you've gotten from someone or something someone told you or you heard on a podcast or whatever, you know, question and answer something, but you've latched on to that thing. And that particular thing is the opposite of how you're wired. And so you keep trying to make this thing happen and it's just never going to happen, but you keep trying. And so you have this one magnetized corner, right? And sometimes this actually, like we've seen this happen fairly often, where all three of the magnetized places, and sometimes four, five, six, and imagine how unproductive you would be the more of these that proliferate. But sometimes the all of them are personality related, right? Because it's like, well, I should do this, but what I want to do, what my personality is like, is this. And so then there's this expectation that are warring with each other all the time. And that is what magnetizes these places and makes them unproductive, is where you have these unrealistic expectations that are completely at odds with reality, which who you are is a reality that you can't escape. You can't be other than who you are. You can change things about yourself. You can learn, you can grow, you can transform, absolutely. But you can't wake up tomorrow and suddenly have a bunch of skills that you never acquired. It's not going to happen. And so if what you need to demagnetize that anti-productivity place is to acquire skills, then we need to work on that. Sometimes, though, it's as easy as releasing those expectations that you have. And so that is something where, if you haven't looked at our Unrealistic Expectations podcast before, I'm going to link to that, because it's a really important one to be able to think about when it comes to how do I really function as a writer in this space, because so much of our lack of productivity is based on our assimilation of unrealistic expectations that we have about ourselves, about the world, about the industry, et cetera, right? So we want to try to do everything we can to release unrealistic expectations that conflict with reality, that make us not able to work. But sometimes when you have these three places, the very quick thing, like, let's just learn and be a little more self-aware, learn about who you are and how you're wired, learn your strengths, for instance, learn all different types of things about categorizing your personality, what side of which continuum do you fit on and why is that important? That kind of stuff can become a really big deal when you're looking at these magnetized anti-productivity places that are causing long-term tenacious writer's block. And this is what we want to try to do here. That's part of why the writer's block series is so important to me, even though it's not a sexy thing to talk about, right? Because nobody really wants to admit that they have writer's block. And a lot of the advice that you see about it conflicts with the actual reality of what happens when writers do get blocked, just because the people who are teaching have a certain set of skills that the people that they are teaching don't have, and they don't realize it. And instead of teaching them those skills, they're just trying to give them advice, right? And so that's one of the hard parts about why a lot of people end up coming to us about writer's block, is because we look extensively for what's really going on, and we don't settle for the baseline explanations or expectations. And we also know that everybody's different, right? So we customize our responses for that. So the reason that I brought this up about the different sources was because sometimes the demagnetization of one, let's say personality related, is as easy as self-awareness. And sometimes all of them, honestly, like, can be cleared up by the self-awareness of, oh, this is an expectation I shouldn't have. Oh, well, I guess, like, let me release that. And then boom, writing thousands of words, or boom, finishing books, or boom, writing when they hadn't been writing. We don't often think about how important it is, what we believe to be true about ourselves, whether that's accurate or not. And so one of the biggest ways that we see people get rid of the Bermuda Triangle of anti-productivity effect is just by self-awareness. And it seems like it's so easy, but this is such a huge part of what we do, is try to help people have a realistic understanding of who they are and what they're capable of. And this is often not something that happens only one time. It's interesting because I'm a fairly tenacious reader and learner about things that have to do with neuroscience, with brain chemistry and all kinds of things. And I'm constantly learning new things about myself and about my skills and about the way that I'm wired. Even somebody who's literally been coaching and teaching about this for 14 years, I still learn constantly. And so sometimes it's the, like, you know, when I first heard about the ask versus guess culture, like, that was a revelation to me about why certain conflicts had been happening in my life. When I first read about the four tendencies, right? Like, that was a revelation. When I first heard about the Enneagram, that was a revelation. And not because any one of these things explains everything about life. Nothing explains everything about your personality or about why things are happening, but it's the constant searching for what is the cause of this? What's making this happen? How do we diagnose this and treat it effectively? How do we coach ourselves out of it? Or how do we get coached out of it, right? How do I acquire skills that help me to not do that anymore? That kind of stuff should constantly be happening for us. There is no silver bullet, no magical cure, right? And so on some level, even those of us who study this all the time, we're constantly learning. We see new sources of our own cognitive blocks or our own biases or our own creativity blocks and whatever it is that we're looking for. We see sources of that all the time. And some of them we share here because, like with StrengthsFinder, I'm learning stuff about the Clifton Strengths constantly, even though I've been doing it for forever. And it always helps me to hear that re-up, right? But some of the things about this tenacious long-term writer's block is that there's often a piece that we are not aware of, or that there's something we're not looking at or we're writing off as a source. And those are the things that we need to be willing to look at. And I just want to bring up a couple that happen consistently just because I think it's important. Instability in your environment is really important to deal with, even if all you're doing is acknowledging that it's there and trying to find a place where you do feel some stability. Relationships that are difficult or tense, or if you happen to be a very receptive person and there's a lot of negativity around you, those things can be sources of creativity block, of writer's block. And we often don't think of that because it's other people's drama or other people's emotions or other people's issues. And we think that we should be immune to that, and we're not. Another thing is health. There's an awful lot of people who, when they get tired or when they're not eating correctly, and by correctly, I don't mean a standard that I set, I mean correctly for themselves in a way that will bring themselves the most energy. They don't acknowledge that that might be part of it. I'll never forget that there were two specific health turnarounds in my own life where when I learned about how certain things affected my personal body and I decided to try not to do that to myself anymore. And the cognitive benefits were so huge, right? It doesn't matter what I did because it's not necessarily going to fix you. It was all about me. And I did some testing and elimination and stuff like that to see about how those things work for me. But we might get tired a lot and we don't think about things like hydration and sleep and food as sources of some of those writer's block issues because we just don't want to have to deal with it, right? And so for me, the thing that I'm always questioning when we start talking about this tenacious writer's block is if we are in a Bermuda Triangle sort of situation, the anti-productivity Bermuda Triangle, which of those can we attack the easiest? Because usually we can't attack all three of them unless they're all personality related and then self-awareness will fix it. But usually we can't tackle all three of them. And so can we just tackle one? If there's two, can we just tackle one of those two? Because even freeing up the rest of this space and only having this one issue over here, like let's say you're moving house and you want to tackle this personality thing because you can't do anything about this, about selling your house or not. Great. That's awesome. Pick the easiest one to deal with and deal with it. And sometimes it takes reflection to learn about this. And so I'm just going to bring up again, because I feel like I don't say this enough. We do offer coaching. We do have coaches that are on staff at the Better Faster Academy that if you need coaching, please do reach out to us. Obviously, we have classes and all that stuff too, but sometimes we can't do this on our own. It doesn't have to be us who coaches you though. There are plenty of coaches out there who can help you find the sources of your creativity block. And sometimes it's just as easy as talking to another writer or another person who has no stake in whether you follow their advice or not. Because this is a fairly big deal for me. If somebody cares too much about whether or not you listen to them, then they are not usually the best person to listen to because they may be ignoring some things that you're saying. And so just be conscious of when you talk to someone of how much they invest in whether you follow their advice or not and how angry they get when you don't, or how frustrated they get when you don't. But it's important to note that you can talk to anybody about this, because sometimes just saying out loud what's blocking you right now, what's making you not right, can help you with your own self-awareness to have those light bulb moments. And that's really what we want. So I just want to say really quickly about writer's block. It's impossible for us to get into all of the nuance of all of this. So just as a closing to this, if you have tenacious writer's block that either comes back and comes back and comes back, or that's lasted for a long time, I want to encourage you to be really cautious about who you listen to when it comes to advice about what you should do. And I mean, even if you're listening to us and we're giving you advice that's not resonating for you, I think it's really important to listen to your intuition and your instincts, because you know yourself better than any expert will ever know you. And anyone who's giving you advice, it's just that. It's their opinion about what you should do. And I really mean including us, because you just never know if people are going to give you the right advice or not. And I think it's really important to question the premise whenever you get advice from somebody about how to fix it. Is this really going to fix my problem? And like I said, sometimes you have to talk to somebody about that externally, and that's fine. We just want to encourage the questioning and the process. It's really important to us that you can get what you need. As always, every month we have live coaching that happens on the Patreon, both for groups and for individuals. And then additionally, I just want to put in another plug for having a coach, period, whoever it is, because the external reflection, or you having to answer someone's questions, or someone having to reflect back to you what they've just heard you say, is so important, especially if it can happen in an environment where there's nothing at stake for the person who's giving you the advice. They're not your spouse. They're not your best friend. They're not your boss. They're not your employee. They are somebody who can reflect to you in a non, let's call it, as unbiased as humanly possible, because no one is without bias ever, but as unbiased as possible, listening, because often you say the things out loud to them, or you write or journal the things that are really going on that you really need to deal with. And so you have a lot more wisdom inside of your body than you think you do. Just, it's important to know that. Okay. So that's the writer's block episode for this week. Next week, we're going to pick up one more, and then we have some strengths to do. And then we are going to start probably a new series. If you guys have any questions or any thoughts, or there's a particular series that you want to see us do, please do ask us about that. I just want to thank you for being here. I hope this has been helpful. Please do go back and listen to the other Writer's Block episodes if you haven't heard them yet. And I hope that we can help to blast out the magnetization of that Bermuda Triangle of anti-productivity in your life and hopefully get you back to writing. So thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you on the next QuickCast. Bye.